World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, they've been lying to us, right? Hang on, I'm typing something here, sending it to Jay. They've been lying to us, right? Come on, we know it. They've been lying to us, right? Huh? Lies, deception, and fear. And it'd be my prayer today that the church, his body, not that phony thing that you see people going to on every Sunday. Not that thing. No. That the one God has called and has marked to call out the abominations in our midst, that church would awaken, that church would arise. There's a lot of things going on, and as I was awakened early this morning and was doing a lot of show prep, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know which direction to go. So much going on. And Ohio is the heart of it all. And we are for whatever reason, the Lord has plucked us right down in the heart of everything that's going on right there in Springfield, Ohio. And going to try to, folks there, golly. Do we believe in the supernatural power and authority of Jesus Christ? That's a question we got to ask ourselves, really, when it gets right down to it. Does the American church believe in that? Or, as we read yesterday, that powerful article that we read yesterday, talking about we've surrendered. Basically, you don't win by surrendering. You never win by surrendering. For the most part, the American church has surrendered. By that, I mean, we've given up. Jesus is in control. God's in control, and Jesus is coming, and come quickly, Lord. It's really, for the most part, you go into the average American church, that's what you hear. And I can hear you, Michelle. Michelle would say to me this morning, Yang, she would say to me this morning, honey, you talk about the same thing every day. And I do, don't I? Not me. We talk about the same thing every day. It's because I get up in the morning and I understand as I look out my window, quite a moon the last couple of nights, hasn't it? Hasn't it been? I look out my window and I understand that all power has been given unto the body of Christ. All power. And that everything we see going on around us is being done with the casual approval. No. With the negligent approval of the American church. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. We'll never see victory if we expect evil men to do good. That is not going to happen. And so the only good, there's none righteous, no, not one, as we studied yesterday, none. There aren't any righteous. The only way someone becomes righteous and honest and pure and holy is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ applied upon his body is ineffectual because his body refuses to engage. We are the only one who can turn the knob on the culture. His body. Folks, politicians aren't going to do it. Republicans aren't going to do it. Democrats aren't going to do it. Independents aren't going to do it. RFK isn't going to do it. Vivek Ramaswamy isn't going to do it. The only way that this thing is going to change is what? And us, thank you. Isaiah chapter 9, real quickly, Spence. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Of course, that's Old Testament, so maybe a lot of us don't believe in it. I'm going somewhere. Hang on there with me. For unto us a child is born. And oh, wait a minute. Ooh. Wow. 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Sit there a second. Is there confused noise? A lot of confused noise, isn't it? In fact, Satan's the author of confusion. So every battle of the warrior, we're fighting confusion, friends. We're fighting confusion. Are we supposed to get in? Are Christians supposed to stand up or not supposed to? Are Christians supposed to be involved in politics or not supposed to? Are we supposed to love homosexuals or not hate? What? It's confusion, right? Satan's the author of confusion. So every battle is with a confused noise. You got to separate the good from the bad, hear from the Holy Spirit. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This ain't hard. Jesus is the head. Where does the body begin? This is a new lesson for some of you, but I'm gonna ride this horse on through the gate here. You have the head, and you have the legs, you have the feet and the toes, but then we have what they call the body. The body. Where does the body begin? Somebody answer that for me. Where does the body begin?
With us.
Where, Vinny? That your body. Vinny, if somebody came along and cut your head off, I would say there's Vinny's head. I wouldn't say there's Vinny's body. I'd say there's his head. There's Vinny's head. And Vinny, if they sliced you up and they cut off your legs, I'd say, wow, there are Vinny's legs. There's his head. There's his legs. Where's his body? What is the body, friends? This is important for you to understand. Where does the body begin? Come on, man.
At the head.
No, when the head's taken off, where's the body begin?
The neck.
At the neck.
Shoulders. Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Anybody ever do that with your grandchildren? Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Head and shoulders. That's how you teach children their body. Head, shoulders, knees, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Some of you, I still didn't get it. Some of you still don't get it. The government rests upon his shoulders. His body. And because it rests on his body, of the increase of his government and peace. See, his government brings peace. Following God's government upon the shoulder of his people brings peace. And there shall be no end. Wow. The increase of government, peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even for ever. Hey, Steve Deck, when does forever end? When does forever end? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Continuous increase of his government and his peace. There's not going to be any end. Why? Because he's going to establish it upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The church are the ones who expand his kingdom. Why? because the government's upon our shoulders. His shoulders. We're the body. He's the head. We're the body. I feel like I'm belaboring it. Are you getting it? Because probably for the last 30 years, 40 years, wherever it is, where you went to church, your pastor has been telling you that we're not supposed to get involved. When Jesus said just the opposite, he said just the opposite. Unto us a child is born. Get back up there. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And an increase of his government, there shall be no one. I don't make anybody nervous. But see, we think we're going to get out of here. We think we're going to get out of here and that'll be victory. We'll get out of here. That's not, folks, that is not what the word teaches. I'm sorry. That's not what it teaches. Well, you say, oh, well, it does over here, coach. It does over here. When you mix a miry clay with the blue. Yeah, over here it does say that. Okay, well, it doesn't say it here. The increase of his government peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, not heaven, is Jesus Christ King of kings and Lord of lords? Is he right now Lord over all the earth? Is he in charge of everything, everywhere, over it all, his kingdom? Yes or no? Because you better ask yourself that question. And quit letting them compartmentalize God's authority. Which is what they've done. It's like your children all of a sudden rule in your house. Anybody ever visited a house where the children were in control of it? And you sit there and you say to your mom, the mom and the dad, won't you make your kids behave? Why are you letting your children run the house? Well, that's maybe what the Holy Spirit would ask us today. Do today. Why the heck are you letting the children rule the house? All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Now, we could argue over when the end of the age is, but there is no doubt that he has sent us to have dominion even until the end of this age. I feel like I'm following a different religion, to be honest with you. And I spend a lot of time on the internet, do a lot of research. would somebody help me out with this? I don't expect you to be able to. I'm just another question that I ask myself as I, what's praise and worship? Is that something you do at your church? Is that 15-minute, 30-second, 30-minute segment at the beginning of the church? Is that it? Is that praise and worship? The Bible tells us we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're going to be transformed by the way we think. How do you most please the Lord? Do you most please the Lord? Pure and undefiled religion. Does anybody know what that is? Check that for me real quickly, Spencer, as I'm having this stream of consciousness here. When is Almighty God most glorified in you? When you go to church and they play music and you raise your hands? That's when he's most glorified in you? True worship is, does anybody know what it is? Can anybody quote what true worship is? Pure and undefiled religion? Anybody look that up, Spencer. Pure and undefiled religion. Pure and undefiled. No, not there. Just Google it. Pure and undefiled religion. King James Version. There it is. Go down there. Pure and undefiled religion. Let's go to church and we would be there for the worship at the beginning. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to do this. To visit the fatherless, those children who are being led to hell in the public schools, and the widows, those who are, even though they're married or maybe had sex outside the marriage covenant and are going in to murder their baby, we're to go visit them. We're to go visit pure religion and undefiled before God. Did Bill Dunphy advance the kingdom of God more by doing praise and worship in his church? Or by showing up in Washington, D.C. and presenting his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service?
Boom.
God, listen, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. If you think God is impressed by the music and the flags at your church, you are sick. There went a lot of my friends.
Amen.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. But that's no different than flying a Trump banner. So what do you mean by that, Coach? It's just an image of something. Ain't nothing really to it. I got a flag. I serve. I follow Trump. Well, some of you wave flags in church. In church, by the way. You follow Jesus. You wave your flag. I follow Jesus. When Jesus said, oh yeah, follow me. Will you do me a favor? Would you please go to the schools and get them to stop teaching my kids homosexuality? That would so make my heart beat fast, Jesus would say. That would so please me. Would you lay down your flag and go rescue the fatherless? Would you do that for me? Pretty quiet in here. And I'm not trying to make myself out better than anybody else. Because I fell into that. Lord, Lord, Lord. Now pull this up for me real quick. I know I'm kind of all over the place. I wish you could feel what's going on inside me. Pull up RFK. Pull up RFK. That's all it says, Spencer, is RFK. Now, look, hang on. I don't know where Bobby Kennedy Jr. is with his faith. Catholic, as far as I know, although I doubt if he's a practicing Catholic. I doubt it. He's pro-choice. But of course, I guess you can be pro-choice and be in the Catholic Church today. I guess you can. This is 2 minutes and 7 seconds. Go ahead and play this.
How does someone stand up and do the right thing when they know that they're going to face great opposition?
You have to have some kind of spiritual commitment, because the punishment and the disincentives for telling the truth are often overwhelming if you are just living in the material world. You know, my father believed that we should be indifferent to what people thought about us, that we should do the next right thing, and that we had to be indifferent ultimately to the world and to, you know, what the Stoics believed. And my father was a Stoic. Is that we should be indifferent to our own desires, our own pain, all of the things that drive us in the material world, and that our duty was to figure out what our function was and then to perform it, no matter what the cost. So I grew up kind of in that milieu, and to me, every person that I've admired throughout my life have been people, you know, who I read about, historical figures. They're all people who went through a valley of the shadow of death. They went through periods when the world turned against them, when they were abandoned by their friends, when they were they became pariahs in their community, and they persevered. So for me, as long as I feel like I'm doing the right thing, the public rebukes are a kind of gift, because they're confirmatory that, I'm doing something difficult and that I should be, I need to be grateful for that and not feel never feel like a victim and never feel self-pity and never, you know, lapse into those mires. So, you know, for me, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm very confident of that. And, you know, my only other job is to be grateful and to be peaceful.
That's pretty deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
Boom.
That's pretty deep. Look, just like you, we all want to be loved. I want to be liked. Who doesn't want to be liked? Well, I'm a witness. I'm a witness to the one who rescued me from death, hell, and the grave. I'm a witness. And I can't take that public, I can't take that witness and take it inside the bushel of the church and hide it. The safety of the church. Dance around, wave flags, act like I'm glorifying the Lord by doing that. When he would say to you, hey, time out, man. By the way, on your way out, on your way home today, how about stopping by and helping that neighbor of yours that husband just left her? How about doing that for me? Put the flag down and go represent me. Put the flag down and go to your Secretary of State and ask him, pardon me, what the hell are you doing? Go to your Attorney General and say, why won't you do your job? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go in my church and wave flags and dance around and somehow think he's glorified in that. Do you guys think I'm missing it? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's it. That's your worship? That's not what the Bible says, my friends. It's not what it says. Man, I've already eaten up a lot of time here. It's on me deep, though. On me deep. Something's happening here. Pull up, it says Corsi. I don't know if you saw this. See, this is part of the confusion. We're trying to work with Dr. Corsi. We're trying to work with Dr. Frank. We're trying to work with Jovan Pulitzer. Look at this. Pops up today. Jerome Corsi reveals Dr. Andrew Paquette's report has been filed with the Ohio Secretary of State on cryptographic algorithms secretly embedded in Ohio's Board of Election Voter Registration database. So you go down there and you read through this article, and what do we now have? They have proof. They have proof. Now hang on. Are you and I going to go in our church and wave flags? Or are we going to go stand outside Secretary of State's office and ask him what the hell he's doing to do about it? Which one are we going to do? I'll say what you want to about Dr. Corsi. He's been laboring long and hard, man. Scroll down through that. I'm not going to read it. Put it in the chat so they can read it for themselves. He called me yesterday, by the way. He called me yesterday. God Five Stone. Hey, you want to show? You want to show how much he's over the target? We're over the target. Folks, are you sitting down? Hey, Spencer, stop right there. We all know Dr. Corsi's website is God's Five Stones. There it is. Click on it. It's been hacked. It's been hacked. God's Five Stones suggests, so all of his evidence, all the stuff he wants to present on his website's been hacked. They presented a 22-page heavily illustrated mathematical analysis, this Paquette did, explaining how the algorithms work and where they are implanted. And we can't just go into the church and wave our flags, dance around, speak in tongues. Anybody mad at me yet? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. See, we got some real soldiers doing some real work. Think of what Randy's doing, what Craig's doing, what Dave Allison, a lot of people, Jeff Klumwhite, people are, they're doing it. They're not in the church waving flags and thinking they were in praise and worship. Pastor Bill Dunphy's trial today, going to be sentenced today at 10 o'clock, and he is presenting his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. Can I tell the truth? His own church isn't even behind him. I've kind of dominated here this morning. I'm going to show you something else here. Can I show you something else? If I can find it here. I wrote on that. Come on in, Lorianne, while I'm looking here. I'm taking up some time.
Let's pray for him right now.
Let's do it.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise, because that's what you've called us to do. And we're praising you because you sent your son. You kept your promise, and you're a promise-keeping God, that your arm is not too short to save, that you bring deliverance and restoration. So we bring our brother before you, Bill Dunphy, the man. Not just as pastor is a title. It's a call. But Bill Dunphy is your son.
He's a father. He's a husband. He's a grandpa. He's a neighbor.
He's a friend. And you see him because you are the God who sees, and you are the God who hears. And your name is love, and your name is hope, and your name is faith. And you said that if we walk humbly with you and seek mercy and justice, we're asking you, Lord, for your mercy and your justice. And as he has come humbly before you to proclaim that you are his God, that you will fill that courtroom with the power of the Holy Spirit, that miracles upon miracles will be happening. He has been before you face down and not concerned about wearing a crown. He all he cares about is worshiping you, this man, this son of yours. So we're asking you to protect him and to protect his marriage and to protect his family, Lord God, from the weapons of warfare that are being thrown at him to try to set him as an example from an evil government. So, Lord God, we're asking you, the one who is the great judge, that you pour out so much wisdom into this judge, that you into this man right now, as he's getting ready to go and drive into work, Lord, with this case, that he fears you so much that the power of fear, he's overwhelmed with the fear of the Lord as he's driving in, where he's shaking, Lord, that it'll be a witness, Lord, that he has encountered you in whatever way that needs to be done as Amen. He sits down in that judge's seat. And that, Lord God, every person in that room feels the weight of the glory of the Lord. And Bill Dunphy, your son, feels the weight of your love.
Amen.
So we know that you love him and that this is what's important. For such a time as this, you called us to pray for this man. This is not by coincidence, not by chance. This is by direct appointment. And we thank you that you included us in the warfare of the prayer, that you are raising up a standard against these enemies, and that you're tearing them down, and that no weapons formed against him through this man that the evil wants to work through will come to pass. That you, Lord God, will create something to happen, because you're already there at 10 o'clock. You're there at 10:01. You're there at 10:02. You're there at 11 o'clock this morning, Eastern Standard Time. He needs you. He needs you. And the rest of us need to hear a victory cry from heaven, because we need to be encouraged. We thank you for the endurance that you've blessed him with to be able to run this race. So we come to you with these prayers and these quests, and we ask you, Lord God, to help his battle buddy, his wife. Fill her with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you, Jesus, go before them, behind them, underneath them, side by side of them, so that they know how high, how long, how wide, and the width of your love. And that's what they walk in there, because your love saved us on the cross of Jesus Christ. And your love is a weapon formed against the enemy that says fear has no power and death does not rise. You said, come up out of that grave. I'll turn it around. And Satan thought he had Bill Dunphy, but Jesus is declaring from heaven, he is mine. Thank you for doing this, Almighty God. In the mighty name of your precious, beautiful Son, the name that's above all names that we all will bow to. Every principality, every human being, everything bows to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Because you promised us that nothing could separate us from your love. Not principalities, not powers of the air, not powers in this world. Nothing could separate us from your love. And that is your word. That is your promise. Thank you for being a promise-keeping God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Pull up Psalm 95 real quick. Pull up Psalm 95. See, look, are you looking at me? See, this ain't about Bill Dunphy. It's about me and you. It's about those hundreds of pastors in Coshocton County and surrounding counties that never even made a phone call to their brother in distress. They're the ones being exposed. Pastor Bill Dunphy is that rock. It's going to crush them, friends. And I'm looking at what I say, Psalm 95, begin with verse 14. That's Psalm 94, isn't it? Psalm 95. Wait a minute. You're right. Psalm 94. I'm sorry. I'm looking in my own Bible, they're numbered differently. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who now chasteneth the Lord and teaches him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity till the pit be digged for the wicked. The Lord is digging a pit for the wicked, boys and girls. For the Lord will not cast off Bill Dunphy, and neither will he forsake him and his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow. Hang on. Are you ready? Put your flags down. Put your flags down. Quit dancing around the sanctuary with your flags, thinking you're praising the Lord. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Put your flag down. Take off your dancing shoes. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot's slipping, the Lord held me up. My wife said to me, stay right there. My wife said to me this morning as we woke up, she says, I can't even imagine you going away from me for 6 months, a year. I can't even imagine. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort delights my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, who frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my salvation. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and he shall cut off them and their own wickedness. Yeah. Lord our God shall cut them off. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. I got some more. I've rattled on for 25 minutes. Come on in. 35 minutes. Come on in. Thanks for the prayer, Lauren. Waving flags, dancing around the sanctuary because you feel good in praise and worship. I go to church and they have the best praise and worship. Huh? You know where the Lord is now? He ain't looking at you waving your flags in your church. He's looking at that sacrifice, getting ready to walk into that courtroom. That's what he's looking at. That's my boy. That's what the Lord's saying. You don't need your flags, your praise music. Come on, Craig.
Maybe you could read John chapter 15, 11 through 17.
John 15, 11 through 17. Hey, friends, listen, I don't care if you hate me. I don't care if you don't like it. I just gave you 35 minutes of truth. Go wave your flags all you want to.
Because Jesus is talking to his disciples, but you can really extrapolate it. He's talking to the disciples of the disciples, which that's what we are. And I think this is really about Pastor Bill, too, because there's a difference between being a bond servant of God and being a friend of God. And I think this is the chapter. I think this is the paragraph that talks about that.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love is no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Bill Dunphy did that. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command you. And henceforth, I don't call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord's doing. But I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You've not chosen me. I ask you to the prom. And then I ordained you. I picked you. He picked Bill Dunphy. Some of you are picked and you won't get up. You're drafted. That you should go and bring forth fruit. That your fruit should remain. That whoever you ask, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it unto you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. You know, I didn't want to say it to Pastor Bill yesterday, but in jail, out of jail, doesn't matter. This will be a, boy, you talk about a banner to wear. Persecuted for Christ. Pastor Bill Dunphy ain't going to have to get no flag and dance in front of the church. Praise and worship. He presented his body. Living sacrifice cost him over $100,000. Told me that yesterday. Randy.
Wow, what a man of God, Coach.
Huh?
What a man of God, Bill, Pastor Bill is. He ought to be, he's an example to me, I'll tell you. Inspires me.
But, they're not talking about him in church because he shames them. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, this is good, Coach. You know, I used to be in the churches full of the flag wavers and all that too. But, yeah. You know, and today, Coach, I go to them still and ask them if they want to be part of a real, you know, a real campaign. And that now they're not interested. So
No. They got to go to church and sing in the choir. They can't do that.
Yeah, I believe in gathering together, coach, and assembling. You know, it's just I don't, you know, I believe in action more than just talk. So that's the difference, I think, when it comes right down to it. But coach, I want to say something about prayer. You know, we all believe in prayer. We ought to be people of prayer, and it's a great thing. But you know, prayer, coach, is what brings us into alignment with the will of God. That's what prayer's for. I'm not begging God to do something. I'm saying God is doing something. Lord, Father, show me, bring me into alignment with your will. And then once that happens, you're good to go. Look, so coach, when I get out of bed in the morning, most of the time I just raise my hands up and I said, Father, I'm yours today. Take me where I need to go. Give me the boldness to speak what I need to speak. I don't need to lay on the ground an hour and pray to find that obedience. Now, if you do, you need to do that. That's because Jesus, when they tried to cast out the demon and they said, oh, we can't get this one out, he said, well, it comes out by prayer and fasting even, maybe. What he's telling them, coach, is you don't believe. So the prayer is for them to become believers in what in God's doing, what his will is. So when we pray, coach, and we know this is God's will for Bill, I'm not begging God to come take care of it. I've already done that. That was way back there in the beginning. I'm praying, let Bill be right in the middle of your will, Father. You cover Amen. Him. Thank you for all that you're doing in him and what you're doing. And it's a different prayer. It's not a prayer begging. It's a prayer speaking the will of God, coach. We have to learn that.
We do, brother. We have to. Encourage us. Hey, folks. You ever heard that small, still voice? Have you ever heard it? That's in the scripture. Where is that, Spencer? Just say Bible, small, still voice. Bible, small, still voice.
It was when he talked to Elijah, coach.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. First Kings. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, broke it in pieces. Can you imagine this? Rocks before the Lord. The Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a small, still voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You ever hear that small voice, that small, still voice that whispers, whoa, the thought that you think was from you, but you know it wasn't? Whoa. Okay, Lord. I heard it. And I'll do it. That's what he wants. He don't want no flag waving. Judah.
Coach, you mentioned this and people to do it. Those are the actions to be able to empower people. You know, it says Ephesians 5:11-14, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them.
Amen.
Expose them. It is shameful even to talk about things that are ungodly. People do in secret.
You're not even supposed to break it. That's right, brother. That's right.
But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. The light makes everything visible. And so when we look at this, Pastor Dunphy, a whole group of J6ers, whole group of other people. You know, people don't understand the work that, say, myself and a whole bunch of other people are doing to identify and put the light on the place that is responsible for this entire.
That's right. They don't want you to do that, man. They don't want you to do that.
And so let's go into this. We're mapping. So we're mapping the org chart of the responsibility ones. We're mapping the org chart of the churches and those who've infiltrated our walk and our light. We're mapping it as an org chart for the world to see so they can hold these people accountable. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers. They're masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades around as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also are masquerading as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what they and their actions deserve. Now, I say this because the whole aspect, you know, I'm from Ohio, but I'm also from Michigan. In Michigan, there's a website now that we're coming up with, Unshackle the Mitten. This is breaking down the org chart of the deep state here in the United States. These people, by name, date, and transgression, family, and organization, are being exposed so people can show and focus their light on them, because people need to know exactly, behind the politicians, behind everything else, who is directly responsible for Mr. Dumfries being in court today.
Unshackle the Mitten. Pull that up there real quick, Spence. Unshackle the Mitten, then put it in the chat. UnshackleTheMitten.com. UnshackleTheMitten.com. Didn't get it right. We didn't get it right.
I'll put a post up in terms of the thing that's here.
Cool. Yeah.
You can check that out. If you're in Michigan, for other people, obviously from Telegram, this is information that people need to share out there on their own socials. But the org chart is really, really educational for people who don't understand who are these boogeymen that are hiding behind the scenes.
Amen. 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 Real quickly, I'm going to, Jeff, I'll get you in a second. Spencer, go to, I need a month. Spencer, go to Christian Heritage. Which one is that? Number one, I think it is. Number one. Pull that up on the screen. Here's a website, folks, you need to spend some time on, because they've lied to us. Supreme Court declares America a Christian nation. This is full of quotes from the founding fathers. Full of them. On February 29th, 1892, the Supreme Court declared in Holy Trinity versus the United States that the historical record of America overwhelming demonstrated that the United States is a Christian nation. Contrary to this historical and legal record, judges throughout the end of the 20th and beginning of the 21st centuries have repeatedly ruled against the place that Christianity has enjoyed in American life. Rather than render decisions consistent with the legal foundation of America, activist judges, infiltrators, what Jeb was just talking about, have taken it upon themselves to attempt to establish a new foundation of American law, a secular foundation. That being the subjective opinion of liberal and activist judges, thousands of pieces of evidence exist that demonstrate that America was founded as a Christian nation, and Holy Trinity versus the United States is only one of the many pieces of that mosaic of historical truth. Remember, they love to talk about stare decisis, don't they? Previously decided court decisions? Well, in 1892, the Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation. And now the government is paying for those who practice voodoo to come into America. Can, It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what we see going on. I didn't even get to one I wanted to get to today. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I got in here late this morning.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. 6 o'clock this morning, I was up, sitting over here drinking my coffee, and I text Pastor Bill. Just reminded him that Mary Jane and I are both still praying for him. He texted me back a few minutes ago. He said, thank you, brother. He said, we're going to need a miracle. And I, you know, 20 years of hanging out with that man, just the stories and the stuff we have done. And, you know, I got the picture in there in my office at J6, our whole group picture. And I probably showed that thing to 200, 250 people. I notify everybody that comes in there. This is what our government's doing. And everybody is disgusted with it. You know what I mean? People see it. But it's like, have you read the scripture this morning, Psalms 33:10? I wasn't here the first 30 minutes.
No.
This, if you see this, little card? When this all started, Pastor Bill, give us this. I wrote this down on a little card, and I've carried that in my pocket. This thing's about wore out. For over a year, that thing has been in my pocket. And the scripture says, Psalms 33:10, he said, this is his scripture. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught.
Amen.
He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. You know, Thursday night, I was down there with him. He is still preaching like he always does, smiling like he always does. And he even come over, and because I hadn't been in there in quite a while. I've been out of there about a year. And he comes over, everybody's sitting there in the circle. He comes over and uses me as an example. And he grabs me by the hand, jerks me out of that chair, dragging me around, just trying to throw me around like a rag doll. You know, that's what he's always done. And the people were all shocked. They looked. And I said, guys, no problem. I said, this is the way he always does to me. This is me and Pastor Bill. These people don't understand the relationship we have. And I know I got some people think that I've abandoned him. I haven't. Him and I are still closer than ever. I love that man to death, just all the battles we've been in. But I have seen the spine of that man. And I've told people recently, that's why they're trying to destroy him, because he has no fear. He has a spine, and he has a big mouth.
So, Jeff, here's the crazy part of it, right?
Yep.
Bill Dunphy ain't no hero. He's a Christian.
That's right. Christian. Yep.
He's just a damn Christian.
Amen.
He looks like a freak. Jack, come on in. He's just a Christian.
Yep. Hey, you know, I'm not really even sure how to put this out there, but we've gotten so soft. Our culture, in our beings. I mean, if you go back to the scriptures, there was a time, the season came when the kings went out to battle. That meant every man went to battle at that season. And they didn't go in mud season. They went when it was nice. And we've gotten so soft. And some of the, I mean, Joe knows what, Alan, how this works. I mean, when we went to war, when I was on submarines, we were gone for 6 months. You just did it.
They used to trash teams since the Vietnam, baby. That's what Christian men did.
And we're supposed to be strong. Our families are supposed to be strong. The wives, it's a shame that the wives have to put up with that. But if Bill goes away for 6 months, I mean, we used to joke about only being gone for 6 months.
Yeah, daddy's a war, right?
We got to man up.
He got drafted. That's what he asked you. Hey, hang on here, Jack. I got a few minutes. I got to get this in here. Spencer, are you guys sitting down? You sitting down? I know you're not. Easy, crummy. Pull up for me. I just lost it off my screen here. Pull up exclusive. Feds and state investigate alleged human trafficking. Huh? Jewish Journal today. Exclusive. Feds and state AG investigate an alleged human trafficking empire run in Springfield, Ohio for years. What? What?
Boom.
They've known for years that this Haitian community was being trafficked. Trafficked. They knew it. Now they're going to investigate it. Because you know what my commentary was today? Pull it up, Spencer. I don't have time to read it. You know what I wrote about? It's not about ducks and cats in Springfield, Ohio. Baby, it ain't about ducks and cats. They want you to think it is because they don't want you to get the heart of what's really going on. Friends, I would ask you, I don't have time to read this and share this with everybody you know. Because listen to me, it's the ultimate bait and switch. Huh? They're going to chase cats and geese. They're going to do everything they can to make you look like a fool. If you talk about cats and geese, and well, I'll be darned. Child trafficking going on with Haitians in Springfield, down the road from DeWine, the governor, who debunks all this?
Distraction?
Myra.
Thank you, Coach Dave, and thank you, Holy Spirit. We adore you. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for getting us together today with Coach Dave, because we're your body. It is written, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah.
Oh, wait a minute. Only those who are called according to his purpose do all things work together for good. Oh, you missed that. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Wave those flags all you want, baby. Oh, yeah. Is that your purpose? Wave the flag of praise and worship. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, Coach, the feds investigating sex trafficking. Isn't that the fox guarding the hen house?
But, huh? That's what I wish I could read my commentary today, because it's exactly what I'm talking about. Folks, the criminals are the government. Bill Dunphy is not a criminal. He is not a criminal. He is going to go and he's going to be judged by the criminals. The criminals are going to judge him. It's not a jury of his peers. It's a criminal judge working for a criminal organization. Why can't we see it? Why can't we see it? Because they do whatever they can, man. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. They got to go out and get those who are making a mess so they can come in and sell all the land to the Chinese and bring in voodoo and Haiti and then go to the government. What's the government say? Why, that never happened. Why, that never happened. Well, that's Donald Trump's lying. That never happened. Really? Really? It never happened, huh? I'm looking on my chart here. It never happened. Bring up number two. We'll finish him with this one today. Bring up number two.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Real quick. Pastor Bill said when this all started a year ago, he said this from day one. He's still saying it. He said, God sent me there. God will get me out of this.
That's
and if
right.
God doesn't, God has me doing prison ministry.
He'll be in the Faith Hall of Fame. He'll be in the Faith Hall of Fame. Go ahead. Play this.
If a conservative doesn't like a gun, they just don't buy it. If a liberal doesn't like guns, they want to outlaw them for everyone. If a conservative is a vegan, they don't eat meat. If a liberal is a vegetarian or vegan, they want to ban meat products for everyone. I found if a conservative is gay, they live their life and respect other people's choices. If a liberal is gay, they demand respect, even if it has to be legislated. If a conservative is down and out on their situation, they think about, how can I improve? How can I better where I'm at? I'm Misty. If a liberal is down and out, they want someone to take care of them. It's everybody else's fault. if a conservative doesn't like a talk show, a TikTok, they simply switch channels or swipe up. A liberal, they're going to demand that that video be removed, that that talk show be canceled. If a conservative is a non-believer, they simply don't go to church. If a liberal is a non-believer, they think all religion should be removed from every facet of life. If a conservative believes he needs health care, he goes shopping for it or finds a job that'll provide it. A liberal, they're demanding that the rest of us pay for their health care. It should be universal. A conservative, he realizes that they're responsible for their emotions, their responses, their actions, their triggers. A liberal, they want to blame their triggers, their issues, their misfortunes on everyone else. They never take responsibility. If a conservative watches this, he's going to forward it to a few of his friends for a laugh. A liberal is going to try to get it deleted, taken down, because they're offended, they're triggered. What do you think?
See you tomorrow.